Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. Buy one, get one free for 1 week only. Order today at EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I wanted to talk to Aidan Kearney, also known as Turtle Boy, about the Karen Reed case. Aidan, thank you so much for joining us. So last week we heard from paramedics who were on the scene in the morning that O'Keefe's body was discovered. I'll be honest, I thought it was going to be kind of monotonous. I thought it was going to be kind of boring. I was wrong, as I often am. These paramedics and first responders, Aidan, had plenty of inconsistencies for the defense to kind of pick apart. Run through the big ones for us and run through what you expect to hear from them this week.
Well, all of the firefighters said that that Karen Reed said, I hit him, except for one. Matt Kelly, I believe, didn't say he heard that. But they generally said that she claimed that, except not a single police officer, there was five there, not one of them had, I hit him, in their police report. And in particular, Katie McLaughlin, she's a real gem, she claimed that she was right next to Karen and an unnamed civilian woman who was Jennifer McCabe, and an unnamed police officer who was Officer Steven Seraph, when she heard Karen say this. She turned to her friend and say this. Well, we got a picture. They showed a picture of the four of them together. But Seraph never says anything about this in his police report. Because that, you know, if she's admitting to committing a crime and hitting him with a car right there, she would have been brought into custody. Instead, they let her go. We later found out, and actually I found this out a year ago, I first reported this in May 30th, that firefighter McLaughlin is good friends with Caitlin Albert. And this was introduced into evidence, or attempted to, by the defense by showing Facebook pictures that I found, right? And I wrote a story about. And Auntie Bev Canoni would not allow them into evidence. Since then, over the weekend, let me tell you, because Katie McLaughlin got up there and when asked on their cross-examination about whether or not she knew Caitlin Albert, she said, oh, I know someone named Caitlin Albert from high school, but we were just acquaintances. We didn't really know each other that well. Well, I got a picture of them in June of 2021 at a baby shower together. These two girls graduated in 2014. We're talking 7 years, 6 months before John O'Keefe was found, 7 years after they graduated high school together. We have pictures of them everywhere. Katie McLaughlin visited Caitlin Albert in college. I don't know about you, Grace. The type of people I visited in college were close family, close friends only. Like, I didn't visit just, you know, acquaintances. Like, hey, you want to come, let me stay in your dorm room this weekend, acquaintance who I haven't talked to in 3 years? But no, she's a liar. You have this firefighter up there lying her face off. And this was brought to the attention today in court by David Giannetti that this woman committed perjury in open court, and they're supposed to be addressing it at some point today.
Yeah, Aidan, when I had you on earlier, you know, months ago, it was the first time I was going to have you on. You were going to run through the whole case, and I was able to talk to Howie for a minute beforehand, and I said, what's a good question for Turtle Boy about this case? I said, people are really amped up about this. They've been following a lot of his reporting. And Howie said to me, he goes, you know, cops make mistakes all the time, you know, when they're handling a crime scene. Their incompetence is nothing new with the cops. Why is this different? And I remember your response, and you said to me, cops make mistakes all the time, but they don't make mistakes when they're dealing with another cop. You show up to a crime scene and you know that one of your own is dead. You handle it. It takes it a step above the normal way you'd handle a crime scene. And the reason I bring this up now is because this is what you tweeted today. You said Lieutenant Gallagher just testified that they didn't search Brian Albert's house because there was no probable cause. Reminder, there was a dead cop found on his front lawn who was missing a shoe. The cops had probable cause to search my house and take all my computers due to out-of-context comments from my YouTube show. Elaborate on that part a little bit about the fact that there was a dead body on the front lawn and they didn't feel that that was enough reason to search the home of Brian Albert.
not only a dead body on the front lawn, a dead body that was missing a shoe. So where is the other shoe? There's no shoe around. You have to assume it's in the house, right? It's just gone. There is shards of cocktail glass around. Did that cocktail glass come from inside the house? Let's find out. Of course, you know, Grace, you throw a dead body on your front lawn, cops are going inside, especially if it's a cop, period. Unless your name is Brian Albert, in which case it's automatically assumed, I guess, that he was hit by a by his girlfriend without any of this, you know, even coming up. None of this had been, they were still by 10:30 operating off of the assumption that somebody, it was a domestic situation in which she hit him with the cocktail glass. So, yeah, I mean, if my house was searched, they had probable cause to search my house because of literally, Grace, they determined that I did my YouTube show in my house. Like, they did this whole thing about how they determined that I did a YouTube show in my house. And they're saying that the things I said on my YouTube show, which is just commentary on the story, is witness intimidation. Therefore, they have grounds to search my house, take all my devices, etc. I should have thrown a dead cop on my front lawn because that's like kryptonite to the state police. They won't even come step foot on your property if you have a dead cop on your lawn, apparently. Just don't make the wrong kind of jokes on YouTube and, you know, that you'll be all set.
Yeah, I'm speaking with Turtle Boy Aiden Kearney. I wanted to ask you about the shoe, because one part of this story that I think is playing a big role that maybe the Alberts and the McCabes and these other people didn't expect is the snow and how much snow was on the ground. And that's thanks to this dash cam footage. Now, you talk about this missing sneaker. Give us the timeline of the sneaker, when it showed up and how much snow it was found in versus when they couldn't find it, how much snow was on the ground.
So when they first got there, they showed video today for the first time around 8 a.m. of Lieutenant Gallagher using a leaf blower to kind of clear the scene around and search the area around where John's body was discovered. There was less than 2 inches of snow, you can see, because his foot is in the snow and it's barely, you know, coming up above the sole. So there's not much snow there. What do they find? Shards of broken cocktail glass and like 6 or 7 droplets of blood. However, you don't find any pieces of taillight, and you certainly don't find a size 12 black Nike sneaker. However, 12 hours later, when the state police, under the direction of Michael Proctor, assume control, and after 18 inches of snow has fallen, they suddenly find what we did not see in that video, 4 pieces of red taillight and a size 12 black Nike sneaker. It just suddenly appeared like that. And in the subsequent weeks, the state police, under Michael Proctor particularly, finds over 31 more pieces of red taillight, which, again, we all just watched the video of them searching the scene. There's no red taillight. They find the shards of broken cocktail glass, which are transparent and much harder to see, but the black sneaker on white snow is not there. They can't see that, and they can't see any of the red, shiny pieces of taillight anywhere. I mean, I cannot believe the Commonwealth introduced that video into evidence. I don't know how they're going to attempt to explain how the Canton Police Department didn't see any of that.
Yeah, it's like what you said today. You said a lot of the things they're introducing into evidence seem to be helping Karen Reed. So that should give people a sense of how good this case is going for the prosecution. The other part of this, Aiden, I wanted to ask you about, because in this photo from the dash cam, you can see the leaf blower on the side. I was talking to this with a friend of mine, and I was explaining it, and I said, well, then, you know, Turtle Boy tweeted out a photo, and there was a leaf blower. And my friend said to me, what do you mean there was a leaf blower? Wasn't it the middle of winter? And I said, yeah, I think they were using it to clear off the snow from the body. It just seems odd when I talk to people about this, Aiden, that there was a leaf blower involved.
Yeah, or red Solo cups. Apparently that's protocol. They didn't even, like, that was their first go-to. Oh, let's get the leaf blower down here. You know, we always assume that came from the garage or something or a neighbor. But no, that was the property of the Canton Police Department. Apparently that's in the handbook of how the Canton Police Department conducts murder investigations, is they bring in a leaf blower and then they use red Solo cups from Lieutenant Kelleher's house across the street, whose Ring camera suddenly stopped working, would have caught the whole thing on tape, but it just stopped working that day, I guess. And so they used his red Solo cups. Despite the fact that this guy just bled out on the front lawn, there's just 6 droplets of blood in the snow. So they used the red Solo cups to hang on to it. And then we see pictures of how they're stored back in, I believe it's the Sallyport. They're just sitting there in a Stop and Shop bag. They're not even in the fridge or anything like that. They're just sitting there on a Stop and Shop ad. I mean, what kind of clown show police department is this? This is a murder investigation of a cop, and it's treated as a joke. It's an absolute disgrace what these people have done to John O'Keefe. Because of the way they handled this, he will never have justice unless the FBI comes in and saves the day. The people who actually killed John O'Keefe and should have been investigated were never investigated because of this clown show operation of the Canton Police Department.
Turtle Boy, I don't know if you can answer this, but on Friday, they brought the jurors to Fairview Road in Canton. And for anyone who noticed, 128 was kind of a mess because they had it blocked off so that these jurors could go and visit the home and visit the lawn. I'm just curious how that kind of thing goes. I've seen that before in movies. I do understand why this case, it would be important for people to kind of lay eyes on what they're dealing with and see, you know, what the prosecution is claiming, how far the car backed up and where it went into and things like that. But how does that work? Can they explain things to the jurors, or do they just get to walk around and nobody says anything and they just get a sense of the property?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm told Emily D. Baker, a YouTube content creator, she's a lawyer, has some film of like the scene, what was happening there. But I'm told only Alan Jackson and Adam Lally would be allowed to talk to jurors. So your guess is as good as mine about what actually happened there. But, you know, when you go to the scene, it's you'll notice how small the lawn is, and you'll just realize how impossible it would have been for people inside not to see this body when they went out there, you know, not to see the body when they left. It just makes and they'll see that the road curves, and they'll notice, like, how did she go 62 feet in reverse, hit 24 miles an hour, drunk, in the snow, and managed to strike this guy so perfectly that his body ricocheted onto the grass, which somehow caused a laceration in the back of his head. And, you know, no broken bones, no pelvis, no, like, you know, bruises, just a broken taillight. You know, Karen's car was fine besides the broken taillight. So it just, once you're there, you see the ridiculousness of the Commonwealth's theory or lack thereof.
Yeah, I think it's good they got to see the setup of everything. Aiden Kearney, we thank you. I have one more question for you. What do you expect for the rest of the week? I know that you guys aren't privy to a ton of information, but what are you hoping to see from the defense this week?
More of the same. As we progress, these witnesses are going to get more and more controversial. Wait till Michael Lank comes up next. That's going to be a good one from the Canton Police Department. So we haven't even gotten to the good witnesses yet. We haven't gotten to any of the McAlberts. That's when the party really starts. So, you know, get your popcorn ready, because it is going. You're going to see one of the biggest abortions in American justice ever coming up in the Karen retrial.
Everyone, you should follow Turtle Boy at Dr. Turtle Boy on Twitter, and he also does a post. Turtle Boy, give out the website, though, because I know you do a wrap-up every night.
TBDailyNews.com, or check out our YouTube channel, Turtle Boy Live.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate you making the time. Allergy season is here. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. This is such a great device because it has multiple uses. So if you're sitting at home and you're thinking, well, yeah, allergies aren't really something I deal with every day. Well, you probably cook and you don't want to have lingering odors, or you probably have a basement that might get kind of musty, or you probably occasionally close your windows if it gets chilly and then the air gets kind of stale. There are so many reasons why you want to get your hand on the Thunderstorm. And right now with the BOGO offer, it's buy one, get one free. I love a good BOGO deal. And Jared, you know this as well. We're at the age where we don't want more stuff piling up on the ground. It's like you try to walk through your house, you feel like you're tripping on everything. There's so much stuff. But with the Thunderstorm, you plug it into the wall. It doesn't take up any floor space. It's quiet. It doesn't disrupt your life. It only improves your life.
Yeah, it's great because it ionizes the air and it creates a super oxygen, which is what it eliminates the odors in the air and the allergens and the pollutants. It doesn't make the air thick and syrupy. It doesn't smell flowery. No, it actually smells. Well, it actually doesn't smell like anything. It's an absence of smell. And I love to have one in my car because each unit comes with its own USB cable. Plug it into the unit, plug it into the USB port in your car. You get that ionized air in the car as well, which is great for this time of year, especially this allergy season, which people who don't even have allergies are really not doing too good this time of year.
Yeah, so take advantage of the BOGO deal right now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO. Hurry, these BOGO deals don't last long. Get your hands on the BOGO deal. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and type in code GRACEBOGO. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I don't think that the judge in the Trump hush money trial, Juan Merchan, I don't think that he's going to put Trump in jail for ignoring these gag orders. And Trump is now, he says like up to 10 times Trump has ignored the gag order and has talked about the jurors and or the jury and the judge's conflict of interest and his daughter working for this campaigning company. And I get why the judge has to threaten this, because he's out of ideas now. He's like, clearly the $1,000 fines are nothing to this man. But Jared, I can't think of a worse thing to do right now. Like, Trump is doing so well in the polls, especially in these swing
states. Great cash, homie.
It's obvious that all of this lawfare is backfiring on the Democrats. The mugshot, everything else just seems to have boosted Trump's base's enthusiasm. And now he's actually doing well with certain voting blocks that he before this point has not been able to make any sort of ground with. And now you're going to throw him in jail. It's like, God, if I'm Joe Biden, I'm sitting there going, don't do that, please. Please, I appreciate it, but it's only going to make him more of a martyr. It's only going to make our situation worse. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what news story are you following most closely? Karen Reed, Trump trials in New York City, or college campus mobs?
I'm following the college campus mobs most closely because it affects my work from day to day and what stories we're going to do. Personally, when I'm off the clock, when I'm at dinner, I talk about the Karen Reed story a lot more. Last on the list, without a doubt, is the Trump trial in New York City. I mean, this just reads, it reads like one of those magazines that you find in somebody's closet 50 years later about old washed up movie stars. And you're like, who cares about this? You know, and then maybe it goes for $10 and you think, who's buying this for 10 bucks? What are you going to do with an old magazine about some Hollywood affair? That's all I get from this Trump trial in New York City. Maybe it will get more interesting as time goes on, but that's my ranking.
41% say college campus mobs is number one for them. Second place, Trump trials in New York City at 34%. Karen Reed at 25%.
You know, we should do a segment, when you've lost blank, because that seems to be happening every day now, where the left loses someone who's so liberal that it makes you think things are really not going well. The example, Jared, 2 weeks ago was, when I feel sympathetic for Alec Baldwin, that means you're losing. I think last week we had another version of this where some celebrity or someone...
Al Sharpton.
When you're losing Al Sharpton, if he thinks you're being too anti-Semitic, you've lost the plot. Well, this week's version of when you've lost blank is when you've lost Don Lemon, you've gone too far. Don Lemon was doing an interview with Taylor Lorenz. She used to be at the New York Times, and now she's at the Washington Post, or maybe reverse that. I'm not really sure.
I got that bubbly.
She spends a lot of time complaining and crying about TikTok and Twitter and all these things that, for most people, is just not part of their daily lives. Take a listen to this sound cut. Don Lemon is the voice of reason here.
Well, then, Taylor, how do you reconcile the way marginalized groups, many of the people in these marginalized groups, obviously they are fighting for Palestine, right, for the Palestinians and for what's happening in Gaza. But yet in Gaza, they would not have any freedom. You know,
they don't have freedoms in Texas and Florida. Does that mean?
But they don't. But I understand that. But Taylor,
Texas? That's
Taylor,
an absurd,
I'm a member of the LGBTQ community. If I go to Texas, yes, they're not going to throw me off of a roof.
Again, this is like when Joy Behar is the voice of reason on The View. It just makes me go, we've gone too far. This experiment is going awry. He's absolutely right, though. But Taylor Lorenz knows more about being marginalized than anyone else. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Can I ask you, just three or four times now, just used the phrase Little Gazas. What do you mean by that?
Well, they call themselves the Gaza Solidarity Encampment. They're little Gazas.
I mean, it seems like you're mocking the situation in Gaza.
These people do deserve to be mocked.
Well, no, Gaza. I'm talking about, Gaza.
No, on college campuses.
We had the World Food Program has just now said that there is an outright famine in parts of Gaza. Tens of thousands of people have died. I mean, you're using this phrase, little Gazas.
Which is 100% the fault of Hamas. Just like every civilian casualty in Gaza is 100% the fault of Hamas.
Yeah, it's the times where Jonathan Karl tries to clutch his pearls as if he doesn't understand what Tom Cotton is getting at. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's too over his head. It's too complicated for him. But I think most people know he's mocking these college students and nobody else. By the way, speaking of people covering the college students, the encampments, Carol Markowitz had a great piece today where she really hit on something that I think pushes back on this agitator narrative, which we have the numbers now. We do know that a lot of outside influence and outside money is being pushed into these protests. But an important part to keep in mind, and I said this today with Matt Gagnon, because I don't want people to lose sight of this. You have to ask yourself why these people were so ready to be agitated. Like, why were these environments, these petri dishes of radicalization, why were they so at the ready? Why were they ripe for this kind of violence, for this kind of anti-Semitism, for this kind of hatred? And it's because this indoctrination goes far back. Didn't start 2 weeks ago. It didn't start 2 months ago. It didn't start 2 years ago. This is years and years and years in the making. And for these young kids, they've spent their entire lives being radicalized. This is just their really a big chance to show it off and to camp outside. So it's a double whammy for them. Speaking of people who deserve to be mocked, the Chicago Teachers Union. I mentioned this in my opening, Jared, but they deserve a little bit more attention. They're making demands. Everybody makes demands nowadays. Do you notice that? Like the kids at these schools, they're demanding Plan B and snacks and Vaseline and zip ties. Now you've got the Chicago Teachers Union. They're demanding abortions, illegal aliens, and pay hikes, okay? Or shelter for illegal aliens. Let me read you a little bit from American Greatness. It says, the Chicago Teachers Union president, Stacey Davis Gates, revealed in a leaked document confirmed the wide array of requirements and the staggering price tag of these demands. It's $50 billion in funding. Now, the demands include a wage increase of at least 9% each year through fiscal year 2028. The average salary right now, $93,182. They want it by 2028 to be $144,620. The demands also include a requirement that each of the schools in the Chicago public school system be given a newcomer liaison tasked with dealing with illegal alien children who enter the system, while also converting unused school facilities into housing for illegals. Keep in mind, the general sense I'm getting from people living in Chicago is they're not too keen on that idea. That's just from the people I've heard responding to Mayor Brandon Johnson. I don't get the sense that the newcomers are making a great are leaving these Chicagoans with a great feeling. I think they'd really prefer if no more illegal aliens were coming to Chicago, and maybe the mayor and the teachers and everybody else could just focus on the people that are currently there legally. But again, that's just my take on the situation. It also says the CTU lists demands 100% coverage benefits for abortion. But of course, that's always a number one priority with these groups, along with 100% coverage for fertility, such as the storage of frozen embryos. You know, the crazy thing about abortion, and before I go too far off topic here, I just want to read this one part. The nation's report card revealed that only 21% of eighth graders in Chicago are proficient in reading. That's the last sentence in this American Greatness article. The only thing I would have changed is if I were an editor, I would have taken that and put it at the front. Because that's all you need to know. These teachers, or this teachers union, fails the children in Chicago time and time and time again. That's the only thing they are consistent on, is failing these kids. And what do they think they deserve for it? More money, more benefits, more accolades, more compensation for their failure. It's ridiculous. But the abortion thing, Jared, and I was listening today to Rick Klein. I heard this cut of Rick Klein. He was on ABC with Jonathan Carl over the weekend, and I saw this floating around, and he was kind of going over Biden's campaign strategy. And listen to what he had to say. This is cut two.
We're starting to see some daylight open up on the issues that are most salient to voters in polls. Immigration, economy, crime and public safety. These are all Trump areas. He's got a significant advantage in trust in handling these issues. The only areas where Biden has an advantage, health care and protecting abortion rights.
Yeah, the abortion part of this is something that, and it makes sense why the Democrats are so hell-bent on making that the front facing part of their campaign. They thought that abortion, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, saved the Democrats, staved off a red wave in the midterms. It did. It did. I really thought in 2022 we were going to have a red wave. I thought people would start to understand with the overturning of Roe versus Wade that it was going to go back to the states, that it was not going to be as extreme as Biden and Kamala wanted you to think. That didn't happen. People really bought what they were selling. They're hoping they're going to get it to happen again. Now, there's two reasons I'm not so sure. One is because midterms are very different from presidential elections. People are looking at a lot of things, and people are specifically looking at Joe Biden. They're looking at his performance, and they're looking at their current life versus the life they had 4 years ago. And the other part of this is the groups that he's targeting. I read over the weekend that he's putting a lot of money, the Biden campaign, the reelection campaign, is putting a lot of money targeting Latino men with this conversation about the importance of female reproductive health care, abortion rights, in other words. And I thought, I'm not a political strategist like Johanna King Slutsky or Johanna Slutsky King. I might have got those reversed. I don't know everything there is to know about campaigning, but that wouldn't be where I'd spend all my money. It's like, let's go to a group of men who, for the most part, a lot of Latino men are Catholic, and they're not Catholic. Maybe some of them are more Joe Biden style Catholic, but some of them are devout Catholics. They're not cafeteria Catholics. I don't know if I would spend millions of dollars trying to convince those people that they need to go to the polls so that abortion can be enshrined into law. Do you know what I'm saying? They lose me there. I'm not quite sure what genius is behind this.
Oh, that's a group effort on the Biden campaign.
That's a think tank kind of thing?
That's a total think tank idea. Who can we get? All right, let's pitch abortion to people who probably don't care about it, and we got to get the terrorist vote.
It's always the most important thing on all
these
lists.
Where are we on that, Marv?
The Chicago Teachers Union, they're like 100% abortion coverage. Okay, you got it. Like, there's something so ghoulish about the fact that it's always like number one or number two, right behind the pay upgrade.
And you know, I understand that it is a deeply personal thing, but if that is such a priority, how many abortions are you having where that has to become a top priority?
Well, also, just the entire idea of, like, if your health care didn't pay for it, or if your state outlawed it, which I know, like, Florida has a 6-week ban, and I understand people get mad about that. But this idea that you wouldn't be able to get one when you have states like California, people going out of their way to bus people to abortion clinics and pay for it. And do you know what? There's all these different charitable groups, if you want to call them that, that go out of their way, that fall all over themselves to make sure that anyone who wants to get an abortion can get an abortion. So this narrative that you're not going to be able to get one unless the Chicago Teachers Union covers it is ludicrous. But fine, if that's what they want. But here's the thing. In exchange for that, can you try to see if you can get a better percentage than 20%, 21% reading proficiency in eighth graders in Chicago? If you're going to get all your abortions covered and you're going to get a pay increase and you're going to get all of these shelters converted into illegal alien homes and you're going to get liaisons, how about we get the reading proficiency up to, I don't know, 25%? Is that too much to ask? You know what? Let's shoot for the stars. Let's go 30%. 33. Go 33%. That's a good number. But no. No, 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 no. All right, now I do want to talk about something else here, Jared, because we're talking about the Biden campaign. And there is a story today in The Hill. It says, can Hollywood save Biden? And how he's like looking for these celebrity endorsements. We talked a few months ago about how he was desperate for Taylor Swift to give him his endorsement. She's steering clear of that. I don't think that's going to happen. But there's conversations about how much does this even help? Like, we talk about this sometimes. How much does a celebrity, like Scott Baio telling you he's going to vote for Donald Trump, does that change how you feel? Do you care what a celebrity says? If Taylor Swift did come out and said, everyone should go vote for Joe Biden, do you think that would move the needle? And I noticed that at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, that I scrolled down to the bottom of the Daily Mail, and usually there's some celebrities who attend that event. And the status of these celebrities, and I'm not trying to sound like a snob, because I welcome all celebrities, D-list, C-list. But if the president of the United States, especially a Democrat president, he's supposed to be, like, he had everybody in 2020. He had George Clooney. Like, he had Robert De Niro. He had these big-time A-listers. They were, like, reality show stars. Do you know what I mean? It just was really the bottom of the barrel. And then on Friday, we didn't discuss this, but Friday was May 3rd. And so I guess in anticipation of May 4th, they brought out, I'm going to let you tell us, Jared, because you're the Star Wars fan.
Yes, they brought out Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, ahead of May 4th, an unofficial Star Wars celebration day. And it was so lame.
It was so lame. And here's why I wanted you to talk about it, okay? Because you're the audience. I'm not the audience. I don't know who he is. I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him on the street. I don't watch Star Wars. I don't plan on it. I don't watch Star Trek. I don't watch any of the star things. So I'm not the audience. But you're the audience, Jared. You're older. You might know who he is. Are you impressed by this?
He was a huge part of my upbringing in the science fiction world. I mean, he's Luke Skywalker. He's the guy. And I hated what they did to him in The Last Jedi, but now I'm kind of okay with it after this appearance. I'm okay with what they did to Luke.
Play me one cut this. From the celebrity appearance on Friday. This is cut 16. Or no, play cut 18,
I just
Jared.
Got to meet the president, and he gave me these aviator glasses. I love the merch.
I'm going to have Star Wars too, sir.
Well, you know, I called him, Mr. President. He said, you can call me Joe. And I said, can I call you Joe B-Wan Kenobi? he liked that.
Okay, now, again, I don't really have any celebrity friends. So maybe I'm casting stones here. But if you're going to bring out celebrities to save your re-election bid, you got to bring out celebrities. Like, you got to bring out a real A-lister.
And even if you wanted to go the Star Wars route, there have been three movies since 2016. There are numerous TV shows. Bring out somebody that's current if you're going to do that.
I just think that
on
people,
one of these Disney woke Star Wars things.
I just think people are starting to realize they just don't want any association with him for real. Like, he was recently on that Smartless podcast, and then he did the interview with Howard Stern. But it doesn't help those people. Like, he needs them more than they need him. Smartless tops the charts. I don't listen to it, but I like those guys. I like Jason Bateman and Will Arnett. I think they're funny. I watched the HBO thing where they followed them around. I think they're funny. They do very well with their podcast. They don't need Joe Biden. He's not enhancing their numbers. I bet their numbers take a little bit of a hit when Joe Biden shows up. Same with Howard Stern. Howard Stern got roasted for that interview. People were like, oh God, it sucked. Just reminded everyone of how he's turned into Hampton's Howie and that he doesn't actually... He's not going after the man anymore. He is the man. So all of these people who are interviewing Joe Biden or sitting with Joe Biden, he needs them. They're doing him a favor. And this is the best he can do is the guy from Star Wars. Jared, if you sat him in the room with me, I would have no idea who he was. But like, good for him, I guess. But it's just, it comes off lame as hell.
Over the past couple of years, he has become like a shameless Biden shill, anti-Trumper, whatever. But yeah, I mean, but Joe Biden stuck in 1977, so I can understand why he'd want Luke Skywalker there.
If he's the best they can do, I mean, times are tough. No offense to Mark Hamill.
At least get the guy who played Jar Jar Binks or something.
Jar Jar Binks. I do know that character.
Jojo Binks. That could be his Star Wars name. Or Darth Beta.
When we come back, I want to talk about Nathan Wade. Now, here's an A-lister. Here's somebody who I consider a star. Nathan Wade and Fanny Willis.
Yeah, how many cabins have you booked, Mark Hamill?
The love affair that ended too soon. We finally have Nathan Wade's take on what ended it, how it ended, some of the details that you've all been dying for. You know what is something I never thought I'd say? I can't wait for my next dentist appointment. That is not something that most people say, because you're thinking about going to the dentist, it's rough. But hear me out. The team at Perfect Smiles makes everything, well, perfect. From teeth cleanings to total smile transformations, the state-of-the-art equipment and the dedicated experts at Perfect Smiles will deliver the smile of your dreams. Another thing that you will love about visiting Perfect Smiles, Dr. Houghton listens to you. He wants you to be happy with your smile. He wants to take this process at your own pace and figure out what you want. So what's the end result of all that? Well, the process is smooth and simple, and you walk out of there as happy as possible because you have a smile that you've dreamed about your whole life. Speaking of that part, dreaming about something your whole life, don't keep putting this off. Get the ball rolling today. Put yourself at the top of your to-do list. Give Perfect Smiles a call. They're located off Route 3 in Nashua. If that's near you, great. If it's a trip, it's worth it. Go to perfectsmiles.com and find out more. Also, you can find out how to take the first step toward the smile that you have always wanted. That's perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. When we come back, Nathan Wade in the news. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, so we have time for these two Nathan Wade cuts. He was on ABC with Lindsay Davis. If you don't remember Nathan Wade, wow, how soon you forget. The Cabin Man is here to tell you about his relationship with Fulton County DA. She's still Fulton County DA. The judge in that case, Judge Scott McAfee, made a what a lot of people called a split the baby, like Megyn Kelly called it a split the baby decision, where he said you can stay on, but you got to fire your boyfriend. And she did. And at the time, I think he was already her ex-boyfriend, so I don't think it was too difficult for Fanny. But listen to Nathan Wade talking about his relationship. Cut 19.
Workplace romances are as American as apple pie. It happens to everyone. But it happened to the two of us.
Do you regret it?
I regret that that private matter became the focal point of this very important prosecution. This is a very important case. I hate that my personal life has begun to overshadow the true issues in the case.
Hey, there's a price you pay for, you know, cruises to Belize and to other places and tattoo parlors. It doesn't come cheap. Do you think, one question I would ask, and I know it's ABC, so they're not allowed to ask any real questions, but if they ever did decide to mix it up, Jared, and try something new, they should ask him, do you think you deserve to be paid more than your fellow prosecutors, considering you had a lot less experience in the matter?
Of course I do. Do you know Fanny's tastes?
What?
I mean,
What was it about you, besides the fact that the DA was sleeping with you, that made you more qualified to handle these cases and get paid more? Or, you know what, if you want to try something else, tell us what sucks so much about the other prosecutors that they didn't deserve to make the same amount of money. These are just questions that I would have been interested in hearing. We have a little bit more of that that we'll play later in the show. We've got a great guest coming up who's going to explain, she's going to follow the money here of all of these very expensive, fancy Ivy League encampments, who's paying for it, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I booked lots of cabins.